First, I just want to say Happy New Year. Who had a good New Year's Eve? Anybody? We were in bed by 11:15. I think we watched New York do the. There wasn't even a ball that dropped this year. It was an LED screen that just counted. I could have put that up on my TV. I didn't need to wait for New York to do that. That was silly. But anyways, I hope these first few days of the new year truly have been a blessing to you and to your family so far. And there's something about a new year that the start of a new year that causes us to slow down and reflect. We're always told we need to have resolutions. Caden, if you could, go get me some water, please. It causes us to slow down and reflect, to look at things that we did accomplish in the previous year, things that we wanted to but didn't, and then things that we want to accomplish this coming year, the year that we're in. And it also gives us a moment just to reflect on what everything in the past year has held. We think about what we've been through, what we've walked through, what surprised us, what stretched us. And almost immediately, then our thoughts start to shift forward and say, okay, let's start asking some bigger questions. What kind of year is this going to be? What kind of person am I becoming? What do I actually stand for in my life? And if we're honest this morning, whether we ever say it out loud or not, there is a deeper question beneath all of that. And that question is this: what am I really building with my life? What am I really doing with my life? And that question is what leads us into this new series that we're starting today. If you don't know, it's called Legacy, Living Today for What Lasts Forever. Because legacy is not something you only think about at the end of your life. Legacy is being shaped right now. For all of you here today wondering what purpose am I here today, listen, your legacy is being shaped right now. In the middle of ordinary days, in the middle of tough days, through everyday decisions, through everyday faithfulness, every single day, every breath of your life, you are shaping legacy. And today, as we begin our series, we're going to start with a foundational truth. This is going to be our foundation. A legacy begins with faith, and that faith for us begins and ends, guess what, with Jesus. Our legacy begins with faith, and that faith for us begins and ends with Jesus. When you think about the people who have influenced faith the most, chances are you think of people that had impact. They probably weren't famous, they weren't flashy, and they definitely weren't perfect, but here's what they were. They were faithful. They were faithful. Maybe for you it was a parent or a grandparent who prayed consistently and took you to church. Maybe it was someone who made faith a priority even when life was busy. Maybe it was a leader. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher, a youth sponsor, or a mentor who lived out the very thing that they professed that they believed. And most of those people probably never thought of themselves as legacy builders. They weren't trying to leave a name behind. They weren't trying to do things a certain way to make sure that they were remembered. They were simply trusting God and taking the next step that was in front of them every single day. What?
I'm gonna find any water.
You're good. Thank you. It's even ice cold. Thanks, bud. And that's often how God works. He builds things that last forever through ordinary people who are simply willing to trust Him. One step at a time. And if you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, if not, somebody next to you surely does, we'll also have it on the overhead. We're in Hebrews chapter 11. This is considered the faith chapter. And we're only going to look at the first two verses. For context, take time this afternoon and read all of chapter 11. You'll find all the goodness that's in it. But here's what Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2 says. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, people of old received their commendation. See, Hebrews chapter 11 is often referred to as the Hall of Faith. We look at it and we see all of these giants of the faith. And it's a chapter that's filled with names and stories of people who trusted God in real and difficult and uncertain circumstances. They're people who just took the next step. And what stands out is that many of the people listed in this chapter, you know what? They never saw the fulfillment of what God promised them in their lifetime. Yet Scripture honors them, not because of what they accomplished, not because they did anything special, but because they took the next step and because of how they trusted the Lord. And so this tells us something important that we about God and how He defines success and how He defines legacy. God is not impressed by visible results the way that we are. God is not impressed by visible results like we are. Instead, God honors faith. And it's important that everybody hears this for the full extent of what it is. When we talk about faith, we are not talking about faith in ourselves or faith as a mindset. It's not faith in yourself. It's not faith in a mindset. Instead, biblical faith is trust in God as He has revealed Himself in Jesus Christ. Our faith has an object, and it is anchored in the person and the work of Christ Jesus. So Hebrews 11 points forward to Him. Every act of faith, every promise trusted, every step taken in obedience ultimately finds its fulfillment in Jesus. Our first point this morning is looking forward without full clarity. That's a mouthful, I know, but faith does not mean we have all the answers. It wouldn't be called faith, would it? If we had all the answers, it's not faith. At that point, it's what? It's information, right? It's knowledge of something. But faith means we don't have all the answers. It means trusting God when the path is still unfolding in front of us. Hebrews describes faith as assurance in what we hope for and conviction about what we do not yet see. In other words, faith does not wait for clarity before it obeys. Many of the people in Hebrews 11 stepped forward without knowing how their story would end. Abraham, he left his home without knowing where he was going. Moses chose obedience without knowing how deliverance would come. Others trusted God even when the outcome was uncertain. They trusted the character of God more than their understanding of the situation. Let me say that again. They trusted the character of God more than their understanding of the situation. So, we trust God's character most clearly because we have seen it revealed in Jesus. When we wonder if God is faithful, what do? We look to the cross. When we wonder if God keeps His promises, what do? We look to the empty tomb. See, because faith looks forward because Jesus has already proven that God can be trusted. And that's really where faith gets tested. Because trusting God's character is easy when things are clear, when you know the path, when you know what's coming next, when you know the challenges you're going to face. It's easy when the plan makes sense. Who here likes to use GPS no matter where they drive, unless you're just driving 3 blocks to the school? I use it all the time. I know how to get home, but I still use GPS because if there's anything that I don't see ahead, I'd like to know so I can take that way. When we know the path, when things are clear, when we have an idea of everything that is taking place, it's easier to obey. It's easy when obedience feels safe, when taking that step of faith, being by Lord saying, hey, go do this, and I'm obedient, and I take that step, it feels safer to know, or it feels better to know that I'm going to be safe, that nothing is going to change, nothing's going to happen that's going to put me in a situation. But do you know that biblical faith is almost always exercised in moments where clarity is missing? Faith is exercised in Scripture when clarity is missing. They don't have the full picture. They don't know why God is asking them to do what they're doing. Most of us, if we're being honest, would prefer faith with guarantees. Lord, if I'm going to be faithful in this, I need this as a guarantee. I need this backer. We want to know how things will turn out before we say yes. We want reassurance that the risk that we're about to take is going to be worth it. We want confirmation before we have to give commitment. But faith does not wait for God to explain himself. God rarely gives the full picture. And if you look through your life at moments when God was asking you to do something, 9 times out of 10, you just had the next step. You never knew what the full picture was. You never knew what was leading you next, where you were going, how you were going, why you were going. You were never given that piece of information. So God doesn't give the full picture. He just tells you what the next step is and then expects obedience. Because if he did give us the full picture, if he told us everything, it would not require faith anymore, would it? If I already know the whole path of which I'm going, it requires no faith to walk it. Instead, the Lord, he gives direction, not details. He gives promise, not proof. And that is where faith comes into play. And if we're being honest, that's pretty uncomfortable. That's uncomfortable for us, especially in the beginning of a new year. Who doesn't want certainty about your future? Do we not work, live, and breathe every single day for certainty of our future? Right? Or a perceived perception of certainty of our future. We want confidence that things will work out. If I make this move in 2026, is it going to work out? Am I taking too big of a risk? We want assurance that trusting God isn't going to cost us too much. Can I just put a side note there and says that trusting God, no matter the cost, is worth it. It's worth the cost. But faith just continues to look forward. It just looks forward. Not because the future is clear, but because God is faithful. Not because the path in front of us is easy, but because the one who is leading us, guess what? He is trustworthy. He is worthy of your faith. Faith steps forward even while there are questions that remain. Our impact statement today is trust God before the picture is complete. See, here's what faith says. Faith says, I don't see it yet, but I trust you. I don't see it yet, Lord. I don't see how this is going to work. I don't see why you're asking me to walk through this. I don't see why you're calling me to go in this direction, but I trust you. That's what faith says. Our second point is built through faithful obedience. Legacy is rarely built in one dramatic moment. More often, it is shaped through consistent obedience over time, every day. When God called Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, he asked him to leave what was familiar, to leave your father's land, and to trust him with the future. Abraham did not see the nation that God promised to him. He did not see all the generations that would come after him, but his obedience mattered. Let's also keep in mind that Abram's wife, then called Abraham, Sarai, who then called Sarah, she was barren. She did not have children. So at the time of the Lord calling him to leave and saying, I'm going to take you to a great nation, to the land, the promised land, and all peoples of the earth are going to come from you, Abraham had no kids. His wife was barren. How in the world, can you imagine, how in the world is all the peoples of all the lands going to come from me if my wife is barren? But what happened is He stepped out in faith and he said, I don't see it, but I trust you. And I'm here to submit to you today that God still works the same way today. God is alive and active. He's still the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He still works the same way for us. And this is where this becomes very real for us today. We tend to think that legacy is built through big moments, through major decisions, or defining events in our lives. But Scripture paints a completely different picture here. Most of the time, legacy is shaped quietly, through consistency, not this is popping like so bad. I don't know if it's me. Brett, I'm going to the yellow mic. Figure out what that is. Oh, by the way, can I pause? I just want to tell Jade thank you so much. She had nothing to do with the lights changing in the middle of service. That was me. I forgot to add the communion slide, and so I went back there in between verses, and I was adding it, and by a wrong mouse click, it changed the lights. And so everybody tell Jade thanks before you leave today, because she was back there. She was red as could be, covering her face, and Alicia came right over there, and she said, hey, don't worry. Mike's going to take all the blame. Mike's got it. You're good. You don't have to. So I don't know. I can't see her face. She looks like she's hiding back there. But Jade, thank you so much. Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead. Give her a round of applause. So I forgot to do that when I came up for announcement. So don't be mad at me, Jade. So but anyway, so God works through obedience that no one applauds. We just applauded for Jade, right? But God works through obedience. He works through prayers that no one else hears. What prayers are you praying? What things are you bringing before the Lord and asking for Him to move? Or what step do you need to take? God moves through faithfulness that seems repetitive and unseen. How many times have we opened our Bible? How many times have we prayed? How many times have we worshiped? Or we've done this and done this. And it just feels like there's no movement. See, legacy is built by the work that you put in. Legacy is built when you keep showing up. Even when it gets hard, you keep showing up. When you keep choosing integrity instead of messing with things that you shouldn't be messing with. It shows up when you keep trusting God in the ordinary rhythms of life. That means the breath that I have. That means the food in my refrigerator. If we say during offering that all that we believe here at Engage Church that everything we have comes from the Lord, I'm not talking just about money, am I? You're not owed a breath. You're not owed a single breath of air in your lungs. But the Lord gives it. He gives it to us. And so, we give and we trust and we walk with Him in the ordinary rhythms of life. Faithful obedience does not always feel spiritual. Who can attest to that? You've walked through some of the hardest things in your life. It doesn't feel spiritual. Sometimes it feels mundane. Sometimes you're just coming to church to check it off your list. Sometimes you're picking up your Bible because you just feel like you have to. And sometimes, listen, sometimes faith can be costly. Sometimes it can cost. Sometimes it feels like you're making no difference at all. Oh, I'm praying for my kids, or I'm doing this, and there's no difference, and I don't want to see them walk away. I'm not talking about my kids, but I think every parent in here can agree. The thing that you want for your kids most is what? Not a better life than what you had, but a relationship with the Lord Jesus. There should have been a lot more parents saying amen there. There's nothing more that matters in life than my kids living a life for the Lord. Sometimes, you know what? I'm just going to be vulnerable here. I'm ready for my kids to go back to school. Anybody else testify? Come on, I'm not the only one in here. Why? Because it brings some normalcy back to our life, right? It brings back some schedule, some things. Even when it feels like you're not making a difference in the world. It's the showing up every single day and doing it. We started a Bible reading plan as a family. We'll see how long we make it. We're reading the Bible together every day, and we're going to try to get through the whole Bible. And we're doing, if anyone's interested, it's the Bible Project. It's on the YouVersion Bible app. They've got great videos. They go through and break down the scripture that you're reading. And that's what builds legacy. More than showing up for the sporting events, more than making sure they get all the Girl Scout cookies sold so they get this and that. Listen, there's nothing else in this world that remotely matters than your child's relationship with the Lord. Obedience, family, church, obedience is never wasted. God uses obedience not to change outcomes, but to shape our hearts. To shape our hearts. Often the greatest work that God is doing is not around you, but instead it is within you. It is the inner work that takes place, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit's job to come and to lead and to guide and convict and to bring us closer to looking in the image of who Jesus is. He is the one, the Holy Spirit is the one who strengthens our faith. He convicts our hearts, and he empowers obedience. He makes it so we can say yes, and we take that step. Who knows that we don't live lives by faith on our own strength? We have no faith on our own strength. It is simply by God's Spirit at work within us alone. Without the Holy Spirit, you simply would not have enough strength to walk in faith day after day. You would hope, and then it would not work, and then you would lose all faith. The Holy Spirit, he is not optional. He is God himself at work within us. He himself, the Holy Spirit, sustains us, guides us, and empowers our obedience. And over time, that internal work produces fruit beyond measure. Beyond anything you can measure, because you are building legacy. Legacy is not built by dramatic obedience once in a while. It is built by faithful obedience day after day after day. Our impact statement is faithfulness practiced daily shapes eternity. See, what feels small to you today, and this is important for us all to hear, what feels small to you today may be something that God uses far beyond what you can see. Our third and final point, leaving a lasting impression through faith. Legacy is not about being perfect. Amen. Instead, it is about being faithful. It is about being faithful. Faith leaves an impression whether we intend it to or not. This is when we get to start talking about our sphere of influence. Who's ever heard me talk about sphere of influence? Many of you have. Our sphere of influence is where God has placed us, where we have contact with people that you are never going to have contact with. Dave, you know people that I don't. Amanda, same with you. Ken, Dylan, Ryan, you know people that I'm never going to come into contact with. The Lord has put us in an area where our faith has an impression on people. Romans chapter 4 tells us that Abraham grew strong in his faith as he continued to trust God. So that doesn't mean that he had all the faith and he said yes and No, he grew strong in faith as he continued to trust God. So God's going to ask you to do something small, you do it, you see the result, and then you just keep going because he's going to continue to build your faith and you can grow strong as well. And so what does that mean? That means that faith develops through seasons of life. It matures through endurance. It isn't just a one and done. And it deepens in your waiting. As you wait, as you're waiting to see what's going to take place next, your faith continues to grow. And as faith does continue to grow, it quietly shapes the people around us. People are watching how we live, and how we live out what we believe. People are watching you every single day. They're watching to see how you handle disappointment. They're watching to see how you respond when prayers go unanswered. They watch whether our faith holds when circumstances are hard. Did you know that our children are learning what faith looks like by watching us? Our faith is telling our children what theirs should look like. Grandchildren are watching you. Friends and co-workers are learning whether faith is real by watching us. See, legacy is not built by what we say we believe. It has nothing to do with what we say we believe. It is built how consistently we live that belief out. The moments that shape our legacy are often the moments that no one else applauds, that no one else acknowledges, that nobody else sees. See, our legacy is built in the quiet choices. It's built in the private obedience and the steady trust in God, especially when life is uncertain. Your faith, and this, like, write this down if you want to, because I think this is kind of like the thing that brings it all about for us today, is your faith is teaching someone how to trust God. Your faith is teaching somebody else how to trust God. And our impact statement is faith lived out echoes beyond a lifetime. Just go read Hebrews chapter 11 later today, and you'll see how some simple yeses turned on for their names being forever in the Word of God. And in the by faith chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, your life is doing one of two things. It is either pointing someone toward God, or it's pulling somebody away from God. That is what your life is doing. Ultimately, church, the greatest legacy ever that has ever lived, that we've ever experienced, is in the life of Jesus himself. We know that Jesus had perfect obedience. He had complete trust in the Father. He had faithfulness all the way to the cross. And now, through faith in Jesus, guess what? His life is at work in each and every one of us. He's alive, he is well, and his Spirit is with us, guiding us every day. So what does that mean for us right now? What does that mean right now today? At the beginning of a new year, new things happening, new directions in life. It means this. It means that legacy does not start someday. When I have everything in order, then I'll start working on my legacy. No, no. You've already been working on your legacy. You just may not have intended to be working on your legacy. It starts right now. It starts in this moment, even as you're hearing these words. Legacy begins when we choose God over our fear. It starts when we choose Him, when we choose obedience over comfort, and when we choose trust over control. Who are my control freaks in here? Don't point fingers at me. Legacy starts when you choose trust over control. Faith is not just something that we believe. It's not just a concept that we believe over here. No, faith is something that we need to practice every single day of our lives as Christ followers. It's something we live and breathe every single day. And as we practice faith, as we learn to walk with the Holy Spirit, listening, responding, obeying, trusting His leading day by day, legacy is built day by day by day. So we can live today for what lasts forever. What lasts forever? Eternity. We just read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Though we do all this until He comes. There comes a day when He comes to call His church, His bride. Listen, we're the bride. We are the bride of Christ. And there comes a day when He is going to call us. And those that are found faithful, those that are found in Him, last forever. So are you going to live today for what lasts forever?
Faith is exercised when we pray instead of panic. It's a hard one for me. I like to panic first, then pray. Anybody else? Come on, let's be real today, right? Faith is exercised when we obey instead of delay. I like to delay. I'll throw myself under the bus all morning. I don't care. I like to delay. I like to analyze and look at everything. Listen, faith is exercised when we trust God with what we cannot control. I try to control everything, don't I? I have to understand everything. Listen, I'm the type of guy that as we're coming home from Walmart, I'm telling who is carrying what and how many trips to the house it's going to take to get there. Is there anybody else in the room like that? Or is it just, all right, come on, we got one. Listen, this is how we're going to do it. How many bags you carry and we're going to be done. Thank God for Walmart delivery because now I don't have to plan that kind of thing in my life anymore. But we try to have control over all things. Now listen, this year, your faith, your journey of legacy may look just simply like taking a step that God has already called you to. He's going to bring that back to your mind and he's going to say, I am still waiting for you to take this step of faith. And he's nudging you towards taking it. So maybe you start your year by taking that step of faith. It may look like recommitting to prayer. Maybe you haven't prayed in months because you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and the Lord was silent. The Lord did not speak. He did not answer my prayer. So what is the point of continuing to pray? Has anybody been there? Well, if we look back to our Christmas series with Zechariah, they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And then Zechariah, through his testimony, says, all hope is lost because she's so old. And the Lord says, no, I have a plan. And it's going to bring about the person who's going to make the way for Jesus, the birth of John the Baptist. Maybe it's by getting back into prayer. It may look like trusting God with your family. Sometimes we just need to say, Lord, they're yours. I can't do it. They're yours. It may be that we trust God with our future. That means I don't have the next 15 years of my life planned out because in the next 2 months, the Lord might be calling me somewhere else. How many of us are willing to say that if the Lord called today and said, hey, in a month, this is going to take place in your life, how many of us are going to say, nope, I'm happy with my nice cushy home. New Sharon's a great town to live in. I'm not going anywhere. See, I think it's about the willingness. It's about the willingness to go. Maybe it's trusting God with your finances. Maybe everything just looks haywire. Bills aren't getting paid. Let me just tell you this. And this is not because the church wants more money. Everybody heard that, right? I don't want your money. What trusting God in your finances, guess what that is? It's by making him the priority in your finances. What does that mean? That means I give my tithe and my offering faithfully unto the Lord. There will be hands raised around this room if I said, when you started tithing, did everything change in your life? Has the Lord always been faithful? I already got heads nodding. We have never been without. Tim, I know that's your story. Rochelle, I've told you for the past 5 years to get a journal to write down all the things that the Lord does. Because guess what? He is faithful. It's really cool to hear some of the stories that take place in everybody's life as they step and they take these steps of trusting the Lord. And frankly, maybe it's just trusting the Lord in your calling. Can I submit to you that your calling is not a gift or a talent? Joel, I'm going to put you on the spotlight. Some would say that your calling is to lead worship, to play guitar, to play drums, right? But what happens if you get in an accident tomorrow and you break your hands, you break your wrist. Does that mean that your calling is now no more? No, because the calling had nothing to do with his talents. It had to do with the person of who he is. We are called. All of me. I believe that's what I was looking for in that song. All of me, I surrender. Didn't we sing that today? All of me, I surrender. Thank you. It is about who we are and giving of ourselves unto the Lord. God is at work among us, church. I fully believe that as we get into 2026 and we continue to see what he's doing, he is shaping lives. He's building something bigger than any of us, and he's building something that matters and that's going to last forever. And church, this morning, he invites you. He invites all of us to be part of it by just simply doing this. Are you ready? By simply living lives of faith. Sounds simple, right? But yet it's the hardest thing that we can walk sometimes. When we live by faith today, think of it this way. When you live in faith today, you invest in what lasts forever and ever and ever. And church, this is how we continue to engage our community for Jesus, by living out faith, by trusting in the Lord every single day, understanding that we have spheres of influence that people are watching, and we're either pointing people towards Jesus or pulling them away from Jesus. And I would ask this morning, which are you doing? Which are you doing? Let's continue to engage our community for Jesus in 2026. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Stand to your feet and bow your head, close your eyes. This is a moment for people to respond without eyes viewing them. Maybe you're here today and you realize that your life has never truly been surrendered unto the Lord. Today, you have an invitation before you. See, faith begins with trusting Christ as Savior and Lord. That's when faith begins. Romans 10:9, it tells us this, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, does anybody know what it says? You will be saved. So if you'd like to make that decision today, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to raise your hand. I invite you to just raise your hand this morning. Put it up, put it down. Church, this is not a moment for us to rush past. This is not something that we hear, we just move on and let the busyness of life overtake us, and all of a sudden we forget what Sunday message is about, and we forget all about our faith. We forget all about building a legacy. So this is not a moment that we rush past today. Many of us here would know, and it's proven true in our life again and again and again, that faith always invites a response. There's always a response when faith is applied. Some of you, some of us, frankly, need to renew our trust in God today. Maybe you've been carrying fear, anxiety, uncertainty. Here's what you need to know. God is calling you back. He's calling us. Calling us to place our trust back into his hands. Some of us, we need to surrender. We need to let go of the things that we're holding on to. We need to let go of the things that we're trying to control. We need to let go of the things that are causing us to worry. We need to let go of the things that we've been delaying to make a decision on or to take action on. And some of us, we need to take that step of obedience without resisting. Without resistance. And some of us simply need to come and thank God for his faithfulness. For carrying us through the last year, the last season. And for reminding us that he is still with us. That he is still good. That he is still worthy. Legacy begins with faith, and faith responds when God speaks. And the Spirit of God, I believe, is present right now. I believe that He is inviting each of us to respond in some way or another. So I just want to make sure we understand, we don't judge in this church. If your brother or sister is at the altar, we are not passing judgment. We are not assuming things in their life. Instead, we are lifting them up in prayer. We are covering them in prayer. We're joining them at the altar in prayer. So I believe the Spirit of God, He's inviting us to respond. So this morning, as we close the service, as we worship, understand this, the altar is open. Would you come this morning and respond as the Lord leads you?